Hello and welcome to the comeback edition of the Dot War Cricket Podcast. I'm Ken Borland, and it's a very great pleasure to welcome back former Proteas all-rounder John Kent, and currently a very busy commentator popping up all over the world. And, of course, great to have our producer, John Gericke, with us as well. Good afternoon, John Kent. Tell us a bit about your travels since we last had a podcast. You've been all over the world, haven't you?
Yes, Ken. Thanks for having me again. It's been a couple of weeks in India. The Legends Cricket League has been running. So we started in Jodhpur, made our way to Surat, where it rained most of the time. It's really quite famous for diamonds. So it was quite the cleanest city in India, they say. And then the Jammu, and then up to Srinagar, which is up towards like Himalayas, up near the border near Pakistan. So it was, they're trying to, I think, grow the product into like four cities in 4 weeks. But so I got back yesterday after the trip. It was very interesting. Like Chris Gayle, I think, probably played his last game, I would think, but he was unbelievable with the crowd. Basically, just hits a shot out the ground, and he's sort of waving to them, and the stadium was going wild. It was quite something. And then he got out, but then he threw his kit into the crowd, and everyone loved that, So he just talks about himself in the third person. The universe boss enjoyed himself, and all that sort of stuff. He was quite funny. But anyway, they had and Raina was there, and Shikhar Dhawan was in the same team. Mornay van Wyk got 100 in one of the first games. And then it started turning sideways, and then it was a bit tougher for Mornay, unfortunately. But it was a cool tournament. There's obviously these Masters tournaments are a big thing. There's talks of, ladies Masters coming up. In America, there's, another Masters and Legends. Almost every month there's one of these things coming up at the moment. So a lot of them are sort of Indian businessmen owned, and then they sort of try and put it all together. So very interesting marketplace opening up there, it seems.
Is this linked to, I think it was in July that a South African team went across to England. Alan Donald was the coach, and Herschel Gibbs played, and I think Mornay van Wyk might have played as well.
That was quite a good one from the sounds of it. With the ownership and the way it ran was very good. I think there's talk of one that used to be called a road accident, or what's it called? Series. I think that was a bit of a problem with payment for the players, I think, in the past. Yeah. And now there's something coming up now in a month's time with Sachin. I think there's another one coming now. With international players. But I think they're trying to have 2.0, and they're trying to, but it's just finding a gap in the calendar now, which is becoming harder and harder, I think. And also the old bodies are giving up.
For sure. But sometimes it's great to see these old legends out on the field. Speaking of a congested calendar, of course, the cricket calendar at the moment is very full. For us here in South Africa, the Proteas men are leaving this evening for two tests in Bangladesh. We are recording this podcast just as the Women's T20 World Cup match between England and West Indies starts. And that, of course, will determine whether our Proteas women make the semifinals of that tournament. So both our national teams very busy. And, of course, domestically, we've had the CSA T20 Challenge, which is also coming to the sharp end now as well. But let's start with the Proteas men in Bangladesh. And I was fortunate enough yesterday to be able to catch up with Aidan Markram, who has been appointed captain for the first test because Themba Bavuma is having problems with his elbow again, but is expected to be fit for the second test, and then also coach Shukri Conrad. Let's have a listen to those interviews now.
Shukri, you mentioned obviously the great preparation and the importance of adaptability, but how hard is it for you guys to kind of catch up with Bangladesh? Have played a lot of test cricket lately, did really well in Pakistan. You know, you guys last played in August and before that in January. So how difficult is it for you guys to come up against a team that's actually quite sort of battle-hardened in Test cricket?
I think we've almost grown accustomed to that. We came up against a battle-hardened West Indies side in their conditions. They'd come off a three-match series against England. And we're walking into Bangladesh, like you say, having one in Pakistan. I wouldn't want it any other way. I'd obviously like to play more. But we know it's going to be tough, both on and off the field. But for the sake of this team and this team moving forward and how this team is going to be defined, I want us to be exposed to that, those sort of stuff. Teams in form, in their own conditions. And it will be a real test of character for both the individual and the unit. But again, we're always going to be playing catch-up because we play the least of everyone. And it's not ever going to be an excuse, I can tell you that much. I'm never, ever going to say, well, it's because we don't play enough, that's why we got thumped or whatever the case may be. We relish the challenge. Might not be ideal, but we've made peace with that and it doesn't even come up as a conversation anymore. We just get on with it, man.
You mentioned the balance of the attack and I guess some of the questions will be around the all-rounder position. Do you play Vian Mulder as a seamer or Senyuran? Okay. All right. So does that mean you could also still play Senyuran Mutisami as an all-rounder spinner? And is he sufficiently different to, say, Kesh as a bowler? That you're comfortable fielding both in an attack?
I could do. The good thing we know with Kesh is that he can bowl lots of overs. If the conditions are spin-friendly, some fresh fingers are also handy, you know, if only to give the bowler that bowls a lot of overs a bit of a break and to freshen up a bit. So I'm not overly concerned whether there might be a sameness if that's the route we decide to go, because obviously we've got Pity and then we've got guys like Aiden and Stubbo that can give him a little bit of a break and bring a sameness as well, you know, maybe not as good as him, but still bring a sameness. So, yeah, we can find all of those possibilities exist. Again, we could play Sen as an extra spin batting option. That's why I brought him along, because we don't lose too much on the batting front if he plays.
Aiden, it's going to be, you've obviously captained South Africa a few times, but it's the first time you're going to captain in a test match. How does that feel for you? Is that kind of like the ultimate for you?
Absolutely, yeah. It's a big dream come true, to be honest. It's what I dreamt about as a kid, firstly playing South Africa, and then secondly to captain your country in a test match is the ultimate for me. So I'm incredibly honoured and grateful for that opportunity, and yeah, hopefully we can put in a good performance and get a win and start the series well and run with that momentum.
Any changes to your style of captaincy, or will you be the same captain as you are in the white ball?
So. Probably similar, yeah. I don't think I'll go away from the way I operate in the white ball stuff. A lot of it will be based on conditions when we're out there. So if it is flat, you can get really experimental with fields and plans, but if there's assistance with ball in hand, be it spinning or if it does seem around, then it's just about patience and execution. So we'll assess it all once we're there and I'll make the call, but I don't think it'll be too different to the white and to what's there if it does fit into those conditions as well.
Yeah, so Aiden Markram and Shukri Conrad talking at the Tux Cricket Oval, where they had pretty intensive preparations. They were both very happy with the preparations. It was very hot here in Gauteng this week. John Kent, Aiden Markram, he's, of course, no stranger to the captaincy, having done it quite a few times in white ball cricket for South Africa. But how do you think he's going to do as a test captain?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of youth coming through in terms of particularly the batting. So he's obviously a senior figure there, along with now quite quickly Beddingham, who's 30 years old already. So, you know, and there's a number of batters who are in their mid-20s, which is really exciting for the group of batters. I think his captaincy, in Test cricket, there's a bit more time. You can assess. You know, you can chat with coaches during the break, come up with different plans along the way. So, yeah, I think there's, you know, in the terms of white ball cricket, it's always quite tough because you've got to make a call and you don't have very long to make it. In test cricket, there's a bit more time to sort of set up a stall, work on tactics, things like that. And he's got a sharp enough cricket brain to handle, you know, pretty much anything these days. But yeah, I think I've got a little bit of interest in the way they line up that sort of top five or top six from previous Ken. I'm not sure what you thought about Stubbs at three, but obviously Brzezinski is into the squad as well.
Yeah, we heard Shuki Conrad talking as well there about just how tough they expect the challenge to be in Bangladesh, and Shukri's been a massive, you know, Tristan Stubbs at number three has very much been his project. He was the guy who came up with the idea. I think Stubbs has actually done quite well at three. I quite like him there. I think technically he is good. He's good enough, I think, to do well there. And I think we've seen that Shukri Conrad wants a very positive batting lineup. And you can just see that positivity is really one of his watchwords by, you know, the way he's made it clear that there are no excuses anymore. The fact that the Proteas don't play much test cricket, you know, they're just going to have to find a way to succeed. Interesting that he's come out and also said Viaan Morda will play, definitely. So that to me indicates that Morda probably is going to bat six. So then you've got Markram, De Zorzi, Stubbs at three. Bellingham is the obvious guy at four. If Morda's at six, I guess then you're looking at, does Kyle Varane bat five? Is he the next best batsman? He's obviously batted there more often than, say, a Matthew Bietzka, who to me is more of a sort of top three batsman. I don't know. And then at seven, you could play Mutasami as an all-rounder, I guess.
They might actually go with because Rickleton is coming into that sort of frame maybe for the number five. You know, I think he's quite adaptable. Stubbs is quite adaptable with where they bat. So I think like the Bellingham at four and then round either of these four or five, I suppose. But four is a good spot for him. And then Stubbs also like a key position there to try and like counter punch. He can be really positive and take these sweeps well against spin also, which I think is quite an important part of his game. And yeah, I think obviously Markram, De Zorzi, Stubbs three, and yeah, Bellingham. So I think like more the area of not say concern or but where you could fiddle a bit is that sort of 5, 6, 7 spot where, you know, with Mulder's, you know, performance in first class cricket, you can see he is a proper batter. So it's a case of, do you go also on the other end of it with the bowling, sort of with the Rabada, Keshav, those are 100%, you know, starters. Then you've got to say, how else do you add to that attack with a Pitt, with a Keshav, obviously we've said already, so that's your off spin, there's your left arm orthodox, and then you've got your pace with Rabada. Do you play the Mulder, Mutasami, or do you just say play Lungi and Gidi as a specialist quick? Because if you need to take 20 wickets, you know what I mean? That's a key thing. And if you play the Mulders and the Mutasamis, and they're batting deep, of course, but, you know, I think we should try and really put some responsibility on that sort of top six batters to, you know, score the bulk of the runs, because you need to also give yourself enough bowling options in these tests to try and win it.
Yeah, I agree with you, John. I mean, I think, yes, Ryan Rickleton, I think he is going to be the guy to bat five, obviously a keep wicket. And Shukri Conrad did mention that they need to get a left-hander in there in the batting lineup as well, so in the middle order somewhere. So Rickleton, Shaw at five, Morda at six. I suppose maybe Morda could go seven and they play another batsman at six. But then you're looking at your attack, and as you say, you want to be able to take 20 wickets. And I kind of think maybe sometimes the best way to do that over there, Bangladesh pitches from certainly from when I was there, they're pretty flat. I mean, it's you know, they obviously things speed up towards the end of the game as they deteriorate. But I quite like the idea of maybe three seamers, three spinners, even.
And obviously Mutasami is one of those spinners, one of those three, and Mulder's that third seamer, I guess.
It's going to be interesting, and obviously Rabada and Maharaj are going to be the key bowlers, I think, in those conditions. John, you've had experience of Bangladesh. I think you've been there recently. Just tell us about what makes it so tough in Bangladesh, and just your impressions of the Bangladesh team at the moment.
Yeah, I think they've had some good moments. You know, obviously pretty worrying in terms of the political situation, as well as Sri Lanka's had some issues and it's impacted their cricket. Bangladesh has had the same. The Women's World Cup was meant to be there. So they've had a couple of bad months in terms of that, unfortunately. But they, I think the last time I went, England played Bangladesh a couple of years ago, and then I went to the one where I remember Quinny de Kock was playing there as well in South Africa tours. So that was, that must be quite a while back now. But what I did think in those conditions is, like, the new ball is quite important, maybe a little bit of reverse swing towards the end. But I also think in terms of the facing the spinners they're going to bring at us. You know, they've got that Mehdi Hasan, that off spinner. Then they've always have a number of left arm spinners, whoever that may be. They normally have quite a few options there. But I did remember quite a bit when a lot of batters were playing for turn, if you understand what I mean. They're playing for the ball to turn, and the ball would go on with the arm.
Yeah.
And in terms of left arm spinners, that's how they get a lot of their LBWs and bold dismissals. So, yeah, I think a lot of work technically has to go on there. Where obviously we know how to attack. You know, we need to back our defenses if we're going to be solid. You know how to go about that. But I do remember a lot of the time, a lot of right-hand batters playing for a little bit of turn away from the bat when the ball just drifted on with the arm and hit the guys on the front pad, LBW. That happened against England as well. So I think that is, you know, men around the bat, you've got to have your wits about you there as well. Obviously, like we said, we got all the attacking strokes, but there needs to be tempered with a bit of, you know, rotation and solid defense along the way as well. So in terms of the batting, obviously, getting through those tough times, someone batting big and getting a couple of big partnerships, you know, in the first sort of four wickets is going to be very important. And I know we have had times where people have said, you know, we haven't got 400 or, you know, even 300, you know, for quite some time in terms of putting scores on the board on the batting side of it. But this is a place you can bat in, you can bat big and really make it count. So hopefully, you know, the boys can get in, Dzorzi's, Markram can go big, Stubbs can play his natural game and be quite aggressive, which will be brilliant.
Yeah, I think you did right. I think it's going to be a real test of technique over there. I think the Bangladesh spinners aren't generally massive rippers of the ball. As you say, it's not going to be like facing India, I guess, where, you know, it really rags and it bounces and it's tough. But they're very canny operators. And of course, Mehdi, you mentioned, he's a quality bowler. Shakib Al Hasan is going to want to end his career on a high, no doubt. A big player for them. So yeah, but yes, if you get in, if you get through that tough time, and you can transfer the pressure, as you say, I think there's big runs available there. I mean, I was privileged to be in Bangladesh when Graham Smith and Neil McKenzie put on that 424, was it, for the opening wicket.
Air conditioning.
Yeah. No, so, I mean, that was absolutely fantastic. And hopefully we can see some Proteas batters really cash in on this tour, as you say. John, have you managed to keep much of an eye on the Women's T20 World Cup?
Yeah, I have done. I've been getting back from a few games, working commentary and seeing a few of the performances. We're sort of in that space. Like I say, hopefully the game today goes our way, because, you know, I do think we certainly deserve to be in those final four with the likes of India, England, Australia. You know, that the performance against the West Indies was brilliant. you know, like we really put it together. But yeah, obviously those tougher games they will be to come now. You know, obviously, hopefully we get through with this result today, going the way it should do. But yeah, you know, we've got some really positive signs, like Caps being good again. I see, which is quite good to see, is Sone loose bowling some more leg spin, which I think has been needed for the last
spin. Apparently she's given up the leg. It's too hard. Yes.
Really now?
Yeah. She's changed to off spin. Apparently she just lost confidence in bowling her leg spin. But I think your point is so valid that it's such an important addition to the side for her to be able to bowl a few overs.
Yeah, so like I think also the like batting at three, important, like Brits getting off to good starts. I think we've got a team that, you know, we should be in the semi-finals. It's just the case now whether we got the, you know, the big performance in us now to get ourselves to another final, which is doable. I think the other teams are also dealing with a few injuries along the way, like Healy. That's a big loss if she's out. We'll have to check how she recovers or how long it'll take. But yeah, Dylan Dupree, Paul Adams are doing a great job over there. Hopefully we can just take it a couple steps further.
Yeah, I think it would be most unfortunate if they didn't make the semi-finals. They would have lost just one game, and it would take quite an upset for West Indies to beat England. Not that West Indies can't do it. I mean, they've got some really quality players as well. But I think even if the Proteas don't make the semis, I think it's been a positive World Cup for them. They in a lot of transition as well. Obviously, since Hilton Marenghi stepped down as coach, you've got a new guy in Dylan Dupree who's only on an interim basis, which makes it harder as well. So I think, yeah, well done to our women. A job well done there. And Marizan Cup bowling again as well, which is absolutely vital, I think, for that team as well. Yeah. And then, John, we look domestically at the CSA T20 Challenge, which is heading into the last week of round-robin play before the knockouts next week. Lions are currently top with 18 points, followed by, I suppose, a bit of a surprise, the Northwest Dragons on 17, Titans 15, Warriors 12. So at the moment, they've got the inside lane for the playoff spots, but I think teams like the Knights on 8, Western Province 7, they could be pushing quite hard for that number 4 spot. In particular, what have been you? Who's impressed you so far, John, in the CSA T20 Challenge?
I think, you know, obviously looking at the Northwest, who are out the blocks pretty quickly, I was impressive with their side. I think they lost Ruben Herman with an injury, so they've had to mix around that top order. And yeah, it was great to see Milan get 100 the other day, so that was really a good sign. Because he's obviously had a bit of a struggle just, you know, in the last year or two after really stamping his mark on international cricket and being dropped. So he's good to see him working hard and getting back to some good form. And then you look at just the general sort of makeup of their side. They had some close games which they managed to get over the line. The Lions early on, I was a little bit concerned with their top four, in terms of devastating hitting. They might have looked a little bit light in that department, but as you say, they sort of got a winning culture at the Lions where they find a way, and they've got obviously some big players. You know, the Port Kitties, the Jones, you know, so, some other players along the way as well, that sort of are able to turn it on. So Van Buren is amongst that as well. I saw the Knights are playing the Dolphins, I think it is tomorrow. Which should be a good game, like you say, with that log table at the moment, the way it's sitting. Because the Dolphins just, I think they won their first game the other day. I think they were 3-0 or 4-0. So they were under some big pressure to start the season, unfortunately. And as you know, with the domestic cricket, there's also the relegations and all these things that everyone has to make sure they are out of those sort of places. So the Dolphins probably be looking over their back at this point, the way they've started the season, which is not ideal. But yeah, I think Ackerman's got some runs again. So his, you know, his form from last season's continuing, which is good to follow that sort of auction for the Capitals he got picked up. And then, yeah, I think, you know, the province, they've had made a lot of changes, like a few new faces there as well, giving a lot of guys opportunity. Up Bedger, I saw, was playing. There's Smith is playing a bit more now as well. And then you go through the Warriors where Robin Peterson, obviously the coach there. But what I've gathered that happens there is that a lot of guys get given opportunities. So, and the order, the batting order changes quite a lot. The King brothers have been brought into the side and they are having a role to play. And yeah, it seems like he just sort of, you know, he's very interchangeable and not going to put the same team out six games in a row, which I don't mind. You know, like he's obviously willing to test players to adapt quickly and play a certain brand of cricket, which he's done since he's arrived at the Warriors a few years ago. And yeah, just at the moment, you think of, you know, all the other teams, the Titans, they got Rulof Funimova coming back. They do have, you know, a lot of options, obviously, in their squad. They always do. And you look at Klaassen, he's starting to play a few games for them as well now, which is pretty big. And the rest of their side is quite nicely balanced. They got lots of options, you know, and obviously not all the teams always have those. But yeah, a lot of depth is getting tested. You think of the Dolphins, obviously they're missing Smith, missing to Pavlon, Bartman's away, Keshav's away, Miller's away. So a lot of opportunities are getting given to players. But obviously my old Dolphins team, hopefully they can sort it out and get up that table quickly.
Yeah, just on the Dolphins, they've also, of course, lost their very successful coach, Imran Khan, who's joined Cricket South Africa as the batting lead. And a new coach appointed in Quinton Friend, who was the assistant for several years. And I think it's often just difficult for, even though he's been in the system and is obviously a quality coach, when you become the head coach, it just changes things a bit, doesn't it, John? Is it a case of the players maybe having to get used to a slightly different way of doing things, slightly different messaging? It's obviously a big week for the Dolphins coming up because they play, as you said, the Knights in Bloemfontein, and then they finish off against Borland in Durban. And if they can win both those two games, which they're quite capable of, absolutely, you know, then they can climb up the log well off the bottom where they are at the moment.
Yeah, I think the I don't know. I think, you know, when coaches pass on teams to whoever's next, obviously they've, most of the time it's fortunate if they have worked together, because sometimes you might get a head coach that comes in that hasn't been involved in a setup at all, which could be, like you say, sort of identifying a way about how they want to play the game. But you know, I can't see, you know, Quinton trying to shake things up and change a lot of things. It's just unfortunate, I guess, that in a way that, you know, he's had to play a lot of inexperience early this season. You see Pele coming to the side, who's just played SN19 last year. McQuena, who played SN19 squad. Van Staden, who's played a couple of longer format games, he's in the side. So you're just trying to find out. Simulani is obviously getting a few wickets, which is positive. And Okushlele, he's also in there, back here, came off an injury in the preseason. So yeah, I think, you know, the likes of a Bartman, Smith, you know, some of those players coming in, that'll help a huge amount, I think. But yeah, they just need a couple of big performances from a couple of players, no doubt. Yeah, just find a way to somehow get over the line is more important than how it looks, I suppose, sometimes.
Yeah, certainly. I think the Dolphins have been a bit unfortunate with, apart from their Proteas being away, they've had a couple of quite important injuries to guys in that sort of second tier. I just wanted to ask you about Yanerman Malan, John. It's fantastic to see he got a 56-400 the other day. His game just went through it almost fell off a cliff in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. There was obviously the problem with left-arm spinners, much like Kevin Peterson had. And there were also kind of question marks in T20 cricket about him sometimes getting a bit stuck, not being able to get off strike well enough. Do you think it's just those issues that sort of messed him up for a bit, or was there something else going on there?
I think, like when he got dropped, I think he got dropped at one point for, I think it was Themba Bavuma came back into the squad and he got left out of the squad or team. And at that stage, I think he played about, 8 or 10 games, and he was en route to get to 1,000 ODI runs quicker than any other person ever has. You know, so like in the ODI format, I think he was doing quite nicely. I know there were maybe a little bit of a dip off here and there, but you know, if he carried on, he might have done that. And that's in the world quickest to 1,000 runs in terms of innings. So the T20, I think, you know, obviously if there's a little bit of a form off it, loss of form does happen. But in terms of, right-hand batters facing left-arm spinners, it's a well-known fact that is what bowling teams look to do, no matter which right-hand batter it is. And generally speaking, it works. So I suppose it's, that does happen to right-hand batters where they've just got to figure out their options on how to, maneuver the ball, use the feet, use the sweep, reverse, whatever it may be, find a way to get off strike or hit a boundary in those early stages. But, you look at the guy's stats over his career in every format, and it's unbelievable, to be perfectly honest. If you just spend some time and look at his stats, it really is a great record in all formats. I think it's great to have him back in the scene pushing. I think he's waiting in a queue behind like the Reezes and the Thembas and those sort of things. And he's still, he's not that old, to be honest. There's plenty of cricket left. He's obviously had some good memories at Northwest from his youth studying there and playing. He's back to Northwest, and it's a good feeling. Sort of a second home, for instance. He obviously spent the last couple of years down in Cape Town with Province and Boland. And yeah, hopefully he just continues to have a wonderful season, because it's great to see, guys come back after having just a lean run.
Yeah, Yanaman did make a phenomenal start to his international career, which I guess made the dip more pronounced, more of a shock. But it's great to see him back in the runs, and hopefully he climbs back to the pinnacle of domestic cricket where he was before and can press his case for getting back into the Proteas team. Just on the Lions, John, obviously the defending champions in the CSA T20 Challenge, and you mentioned that it's almost as if they've gone back to a bit of old-fashioned T20 cricket just because of the personnel they have, I guess. As you say, that top three especially, Zubair Hamza III is a very classy batter, but he's not really a big boundary hitter. You've got Reeza Hendricks, who's had a few sort of form issues of his own recently, but batted really well down in Paarl to win that game. And Wandile Mokwetu, in a bit of an unfamiliar role, I guess he's the guy who they're looking to get the boundaries in the power play. But then, of course, the back end of their batting is loaded with the big hitters like Effen Jones, Delano Potgieter, Conor Estes, and Mitch van Buren's got a fantastic strike rate this season as well.
Yeah, I think that is a strong area for them. I suppose it's a case of, like the Dolphins, they tried Zonda at the top of the order last season. And I don't know, maybe it's a case of saying, does Mitchell van Buren want to bat three? Is he willing to do it? Is he not? Check with the guys, because obviously in T20 cricket, you want your better players facing the most amount of balls. So, it wouldn't make sense with Van Buren facing 10 balls. He needs to be facing, say, 30 balls in an innings and to try and make the biggest impact, as well as Portgieter, Jones. If they're facing 15 balls in innings, they're going to get 40 probably. But if they don't get enough, then it will hurt them. So what they probably said to Mokwetu is that he needs to come out the blocks quickly, look for boundaries, you know, during the first six, make a play, you know, have 200 strike rate in the power play, and then you've been successful. Whether it's 10 of 20 of 10, you know, 30 or 15, he's done a great job. And sometimes,
yeah, John, I certainly think Mitchell van Buren is someone who can bat number three. But that's going to be where we have to end it for today. Thanks very much to John Kent and our producer, John Gericke. We look forward to that very exciting conclusion to the CSA T20 Challenge and for the test matches, the Proteas in Bangladesh. And also hoping that our Proteas women are in the semi-finals of the T20 World Cup. Thank you very much, dear listener, for listening to the Dot Ball Cricket Podcast. And don't forget, you can follow us on X, Dot Ball Cricket Podcast. And we would love to hear from you. And until next time, good afternoon.